In the gospel today, our Lord says something that sounds rather strange when we hear it. He says to Peter, "You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." It's like, well, no kidding. Peter was a human being. How do you expect him to think? Well, obviously, Jesus says, expecting him to think as God does. On one hand, of course, we're made in the image and likeness of God. But for us, we're baptized into Christ. And therefore, we have been elevated to a divine level of acting and being. We participate in the divine nature, St. Peter tells us. And consequently, we can think as God does. Obviously, this is not something that comes natural to us. It is a supernatural gift. And so the only way that we're going to be able to do this is through prayer, through growing more and more perfectly into union with God. But that brings us then to the next point. If we are going to grow in union with the Lord, the question is, who is he? That's exactly the question that he asks his disciples today. So he starts out generically or objectively and says, "Who do people say that I am?" And he gets all kinds of answers. Oh, some think you're John the Baptist, some think that you're Elijah, some think you're one of the other prophets. But then he gets right down to it. "And you, who do you say that I am?" That is the question. Now notice what he's not looking for here is the objective answer. We all know the catechism answers. That's all up here. That's not what he's looking for. He's looking for what's coming from down here in the heart. Who do you, individually, subjectively, who do you say that Jesus is? Now again, we can repeat all of the points out of the catechism. He's the second person of the Trinity. He's God and man. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah. All those things are true. So I'm not saying that they're not true. I'm just simply asking the question, what do you believe individually? And this is of absolute and critical importance. In fact, it is probably the single most important question that any of us will ever have to answer. Ever. It literally will have eternal consequences. So again, who do you say that Jesus is? Peter said to him, "You are the Christ." In St. Matthew's Gospel, he extends that out a little bit, says, "You are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is to come into the world." Do you believe that? Do you believe that he is God? We give him a lot of lip service, but let's admit it, our hearts often are far from him. So do we really, truly believe that he is God? Now think about the consequences of that. If he is not, then what we're doing here is fake. Everything that we are about is a complete fraud. Is that what we want to really believe? Now, before we dig into all of the particulars, let's look a little bit differently. There are lots of people who will say things like, "Oh, well, he was a good man," or "He's a teacher of righteousness," "He's my buddy." Whoa, no, 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 no. It's true that he was a good man. It's true that he is a teacher of righteousness, but that's not all that he is. In fact, I can guarantee you, if that's all that it is, he's neither of those things. Because he said that he is God. A good man isn't going to tell you that he's God if he's not. A teacher of righteousness isn't going to tell you something that is unrighteous. So he's neither a good man nor a teacher of righteousness, pure and simple. So we have to look at it and say, if we don't believe that he's God, there are only two other possibilities. Either he is a liar or he's insane. Okay, so either he knows that he's not God, but he wants to fool us all and tell us that he is. He's a liar. If I stood up here today and I said, by the way, people need to know, I am God. I am the second person of the Most Holy Trinity. I hope you would all pack it up and go and say this guy is a liar, or you're going to say he's nuts. Well, when he said it, why aren't we saying he's a liar or he's nuts? Because you can go down to the psych ward in any of the hospitals in the Twin Cities and you're going to find one or two people in every one of them that thinks that they're Jesus. They're crazy. How come he isn't? So if he's not God, he either is a liar or he's insane. It's one or the other. The only other possibility is that he was telling us the truth. He is God. Now, if he is not God, let's think about that for a minute. It means your baptism is fake. It's not real. Oh, you went through the motions, you went through the ritual, but it doesn't mean a thing. Because we believe you're baptized into Jesus, but if he's not God, you're not baptized into him at all. It also means that none of your sins are forgiven because he's not God. He doesn't have the power to forgive sin. It also means that what we're doing here is completely fraudulent. It means that we are violating the first commandment because we worship him as God. And if he's not God, then we're violating the first commandment. It means that when you come forward to receive communion, you only get a piece of bread. It's not Jesus, it's just a piece of bread because he's not God and doesn't have the ability to change bread and wine into himself anyway. It means that there is no hope for eternal life, that there will be no resurrection from the dead. So you see, this doesn't have minor consequences. This has major consequences. So we look at him and say, I believe that he is God. But again, do we? Because if he is God, that means that every single word that came out of his mouth is the word of God. God, St. Paul tells us, cannot deceive or be deceived. He cannot lie. In fact, Jesus told us of himself, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If he is the truth, he can't lie. So when we look at the scriptures, we look at the teaching of the church, do we pick and choose? Oh, I believe that, but not this. If we do that, then we've just said that he's a liar. He said this, but it's not true because I don't believe it. So he's a liar. He's not God then. Because we have made him a liar. Is that what we really want to do? So either he's God or he is not. Either he speaks the truth or he does not. And let's be clear. If he is not God, then number one, we should all get out of here right now. Number two, we should tear the church down and destroy it because this is all fraudulent. And number three, we should all go home and look in the mirror and burn some incense to ourselves because if we're going to worship somebody who's not God, we may as well just worship ourselves. Why would we want to do something so stupid? So think about what it is that we've already said in the Gloria. Think about what it is that we are going to say in just a few minutes in the Creed. And note that in the Creed we say, I believe. Do you? That's the question Jesus is asking in the gospel. Who do you say that Jesus is? When you look up at that crucifix and you listen to the words, the Son of Man must suffer greatly, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed. And we heard what Isaiah prophesied about him. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard, my face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. Look at the one up on the cross and ask yourself, do I really believe that that is God? And then look right underneath the cross at the tabernacle and ask yourself once again, in the form of a piece of bread, do I really believe that that is God? Jesus said it is. Either he's God and it is, or he is not God and therefore it is not. Once again, if we're going to say that the Eucharist is just a symbol or just a sign, then we said Jesus is a liar and he's not God. Once again, you see these do not have minor implications. These have absolutely major implications. If we're going to try and tap dance around something that Jesus taught, we're already saying that I don't believe him. He's a liar. Therefore, he's not God. So with our lips, we'll say that I believe is God, he's God, but then we act in a way that says that he's not, because I don't believe. So again, really think about what we're going to be saying in a minute. The words of the creed are not things that, well, it's Sunday, so we pray the creed. Have you ever stopped to really think about what those words say? These are the very things that define us. We say, I believe. And so I challenge you again, do you? Because if we do, then St. James asks us what we're going to do with it. He says, faith without works is dead. So we're going to give him lip service, but our hearts are far from him. What good is it? If we're not going to live the faith that we profess, what good is it? To be able to say that Jesus is God, but who cares? What good is it? We have to live it. If he is indeed God, and he is, then we are baptized into the person of Jesus Christ. We have become sons and daughters of God. We have been elevated to a divine level of acting and being. We have been given a participation in the divine nature. We have our sins forgiven. We are nourished on the body and blood of Christ. We are given the very life of God in sanctifying grace. We are promised eternal life. All of these things because we believe that he is God. None of them are true if he's not. So again, it's not a question of the catechism. So I keep pointing out to people, on the day you stand before the Lord for judgment, he is not going to give you a catechism lesson or a catechism test. You need to know the answers from the catechism, but that's so that you can get it from your head to your heart and put it into practice. That's why the first question he asks, who do people say that I am? That's basically the same as saying, okay, what does the church teach about me? What's the catechism say? Then he turns it the other way, and it becomes the most important question in the universe. You. Who do you say that I am? In order to answer that question, we can't think as human beings do. Because we want to do things today like say, well, I believe in science. No kidding, we all do. But we can't prove scientifically that Jesus is God. It's not a scientific question. It's a question of faith. So we have to be able to think as God does, and therefore we have to beg Him for the grace to be able to have that faith to say yes to the Lord, and to be able to then put that into practice through prayer and draw near to Him and seek that union with Him so that we can be conformed to Him, so that we can think like Him. That's what this is all about. That's what you and I are to be all about. So it's not just a matter of showing up for church on Sunday and said, I did my 1 hour this week, that's good enough. No. If we're going to profess our faith in Jesus, then St. James makes clear that we have to live it, because faith without works again is dead. We want to go out there and live like the pagans around us. What good is showing up on Sunday morning doing for us? This has to change our lives. To state our faith in Jesus changes everything about our lives, because it defines who we are and the trajectory on which we are walking. That's why this is so important. So again, it's not the catechism question. What does the church say? What do people say? There are lots of false gospels. There are lots of false Jesuses out there. We can make up our own Jesus. I believe in this and that and the other thing. I sort of believe in Jesus and the gospel, but I don't believe these things. Then you don't believe in Jesus. So that's why it's so important, the question that he asks. And the question then that each and every one of us needs to look at and answer in the depth of our being. You, who do you say that Jesus is? So with that, let's stand and profess.